we read, please, in Genesis chapter 21, verse 7, the last part of the verse, "For I have borne him a son in his old age." Chapter 22, verse 1, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer them there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Verse 5, "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you." Now chapter 37, now we won't read all the passages, but I just want to remind you of verse 5. Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And also verse 8, the word hated is repeated. Then verse 18, "And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him." And then verse 27, "Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites." Now chapter 39, verse 17, "And she spake unto him according to these words," that's Potiphar's wife to Potiphar, "The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me, and it came to pass as I lifted up my voice and cried that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison." Now in Exodus, please, chapter 2, Exodus chapter 2, verse 14, "And he said, Who made thee a prince and a judge over us?" That's Moses. Now, could we turn to the New Testament, please? Now, I'm leaving out many readings that we could make. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7. The Acts of the Apostles in chapter 7, verse 23, "And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel." Verse 30, verse 29, "Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian." Verse 30, "And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush." Now, I'm only reading that just to remind you. Then chapter 9, and this is Saul of Tarsus, in verse 3, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Now you know that this was the day of his conversion, his salvation. Further down in the chapter, verse 15, "And the Lord said unto him," unto Ananias, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." Now, Galatians chapter 1, Galatians chapter 1, verse 17, this is Paul writing about his early experience. "Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus." Now I want to read finally in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went." That's all we should do. I just want to give a brief word at the end of the conference, and I've never attempted ever to say anything on this theme, and it's only just beginning to form in my mind, and therefore I'm not in a ready state to be delivering it. But I feel I should say something, as most likely if the Lord doesn't return, it'll be some years before we are back in this country. Now what I want to say on the passages is God's work in the life of four individuals, producing in them what he is going to use for his glory in their lives. Now I just want to take them in the order that they come in the scriptures. First of all, Abraham. Now I could have read more passages, but I just didn't do that. However, you know enough about the life of Abraham for me to make reference to them. Abraham is known as a man of faith. That's his supreme quality. This is what marks him right through the scriptures. But we want you to understand, and this is what really hit me when I was reading in Genesis again, for God to make and form this man of faith, he had to bring him into circumstances where his faith was exercised. Now, the very first thing is this. When Abraham was saved, when the God of glory appeared to him in Ur of the Chaldees, I understand that God told him to leave. And Hebrews says that he left to go out onto a place, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Now this is the first step in the formation of a man of faith. God calls him to take a step, and he doesn't know where that step is going to take him. So that we can follow this in his life. I could have read in chapter 15 when he said, I have no heir. Shall this Eliezer of Damascus be my heir? And God took him out and he showed him the stars of heaven. And he says, so shall thy seed be. And it says in that passage that is quoted in the New Testament that Abraham believed the Lord and the Lord counted it unto him for righteousness. In other words, he is asking Abraham now to go on faith. Now, I read that word word in chapter 21, what Sarah said. In the passage, it actually says that Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90 when Isaac was born. Now, we don't go into all the other facts, then you know the facts of Genesis enough to understand this, that Abraham and Sarah were tested. In chapter 16, on the grounds of that act of faith that he had taken, and he fell, it was Sarah that encouraged him to marry Hagar. And his faith was tested, and he failed. But now it has come to its full fruition. And God made Abraham wait until he was 100 years of age before he saw the answer to that promise. And that developed Abraham's faith. Now I know there are more steps, but we're not going to go into those. Then the next chapter, chapter 22, God asked Abraham to yield up the sole heir, the son whom he loved. All his future lay in this man. All the promises of God were going to be fulfilled in him. And God asked him to yield him. And he didn't hesitate. The text makes it clear that he rose up early in the morning to start on the journey that would end up with Isaac on the altar. Now, what was the intention? The intention was to develop the faith of Abraham. And Abraham said to the young man, "We will go yonder and worship and come again to you." Now, Hebrews 11 makes a comment on that. Though he had no example of resurrection, he believed that God would raise him from the dead. In other words, he had reached the peak of his development, a man of faith. Now, I just want to make an application, just a simple application to us in our lives. God wants to develop certain characteristics in his people's lives. You've been hearing things on this line already today. Don't be surprised if you find yourself in circumstances hard to understand. Hard to wonder, is the God who loves me allowed me to get into a circumstance like this? Is he asking me to pass through a test like this? He is. And he is seeking to develop in us those qualities that could not ever be developed in any other way. So remember, younger brother and sister, everything is easy at the beginning. But God will be calling you and I in our lives to pass through circumstances and difficulties and trials and tests. And those are intended not to destroy us, not to push us down and crush us, but intended us to develop characteristics, spiritual qualities that nothing else will develop in our lives. And develop a confidence in God that you could never ever have in any other way. Now I'm just going to leave that. Now Moses. Now this is preparation for future service. Now really, excuse me, I should go for Joseph now, chronological order. Joseph, excuse me. Joseph is given a clear view of his future. God promises him a place of exaltation. But Joseph did not realize when he got those dreams. And when he got that confirmation, that divine confirmation by having the dream the second time, he did not know that before he could attain the realization of those two dreams, of God's will for him, he had to pass through dark valleys of dense trial that broke him. And according to Psalm 105, the iron entered into his soul. Now, maybe God has blessing and future exaltation in view for younger brethren and sisters in the meeting tonight. Perhaps God has something in view for you, and you have glimpsed already. As you get into God's presence and you read his word, you're impressed with certain things and certain desires and the spiritual lane raise in your heart. But remember, before the accomplishment of such in your life, you might be called to go through deep valleys of trial and testing. Now, what was the reason why Joseph was so hated by his brethren and then was put in the pit? Then he was sold to the Ishmaelites. Then he was bought as a slave. Why should one whom God had foretold would be in a place of exaltation, why should he come down like this? Well, you know, that place of exaltation was going to be so high. And that place of exaltation was going to be so unusual for one of the descendants of Jacob, that God had to mold Joseph in this way to develop in him a humility of spirit that would make Joseph a compassionate ruler, a sympathetic man seated on the throne, a man that felt for others, and a man that would deal justly because he tasted what injustice was. And so Joseph then, of course, flourished in Pharaoh's and Potiphar's house. Then he's in another trouble. Now this time it's slander. It's not hatred, it's slander. His purity is well known. His exercise before God is so powerful that he's not caught in this trap. But slander wins the day. And Joseph is humiliated, his reputation shattered, and he's cast into prison. What is God accomplishing? And even in the prison, he speaks to Pharaoh's butler, and Pharaoh's butler is released, as he said, and he gets into the presence of Pharaoh but never remembers Joseph. And Joseph spends another 2 long years under the slander in jail. And this is all the formation for the years of glory that are going to follow. Oh, the way that the Lord works. Perhaps there are some amongst us today. God will eventually use them as a leader amongst God's people. But he has to form in them qualities that they will need to exercise in that place of leadership. And those qualities can only be formed by going through the darkest valleys and the most terrible trials and breaking their spirit and bringing us down. And you know, this is how God works today. The principles of the Old Testament are just as applicable today as they were then. Then remember Moses. Very similar. Now, I'm going to just branch out a little bit wider here in this sense, that even before Moses came to know God personally, God was working in the very circumstances of his life and preparing him for a future position as leader of his people. How is it that he found himself in Pharaoh's palace? How's that? Found himself in Pharaoh's palace because a small part of his service would be confronting the Pharaoh of Egypt and demanding a release from his people, of God's people from Egypt. And to do this, Moses was learned in all the learning of the Egyptians, and he knew how to approach a ruler. He was educated in it. He knew all the protocol of a king's court. And he was the perfect person to come into the king's court and plead for the release. In other words, he wasn't an ignoramus. He wasn't an old ploughman coming to a monarch. No, no. He knew how to approach the monarch. See, that was even before he was saved, God was working in his life. Now, sometimes Christians look back on their lives and they see the way God has led them. And they begin to realize even the very home I was born in and the part of the world I was born in and the very circumstances that I was in my early days and the things that happened in my life even before I was saved, I began to see God was leading in all that. God had certain things in mind and God was overruling and allowing those things to take place. Then, as you know, he left the palace and he took the side of the people of Israel, but he was rejected. He was going on his background from the palace, but he was rejected on those grounds. And he had to flee. And he spent the next 40 years in the same wilderness that he would spend a third branch of his 120 years, another 40 years, leading God's people through the very wilderness. And so God prepared him. He had a knowledge of that wilderness, because that's where he had his sheep. And after 40 years, he got to know it very well. And he knew how to live in the wilderness. And he had full experience of the pathway that God was later going to lead him through. And this time he would come as a leader of God's people. He was a no one. He was a non-entity. In the backside of the desert, leading a few sheep. But even by the fact that he was a shepherd, he developed certain characteristics that he would later need when he was shepherding God's people. You see, all I want to say out of this is how God works in people's lives. Brethren and sisters, don't despise the circumstances that you're in today, or ones that you've just been in the recent past, or others that may come to your life later on. Because God is working in your life and bringing out the qualities that he wants you to have. And one day when you get to glory and you look back on the pathway that he has taken you, you will understand this. God led me on that path to bring out the glories that I'm now enjoying. To bring out those spiritual characteristics that are now shining out in all their clearness and fullness. Then I was thinking of Paul. Paul was a Jew to the backbone. He said himself, he was a Pharisee, and he was of the strictest sect, and he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and there was everything to make you understand that if there was ever a man that was going to be involved with a Jewish nation, this is the man. But first, don't forget that he was born in a Gentile city. And then secondly, that he was saved outside a Gentile city, Damascus. And also that he preached his first sermon in a Gentile city. And that he spent the early years of his Christian career in Arabia, a Gentile land. Yes, he did get back to Jerusalem. And he got into the assembly. And I should have read the verses where he conflicted with the Grecians, the synagogue of the Grecians. I would take that to be Grecian Jews in Jerusalem. But he didn't stay long in Jerusalem. The brethren had to send him out because of the threat for his life. And where did he go? to a Gentile city, back to Tarsus. And we understand that in that period between chapter 9 and when he comes into the picture again in chapter 11, Paul was engaged in work, whether he worked with his hands as well, but I don't doubt this, that he preached the gospel. And it is possible that he saw assemblies formed in the province of Cilicia. You see, his work among the Gentiles. Now, he was a Jew to the backbone. But you see, God is already preparing him for his future service. Not things that he chose himself, but God chose them for him. He was the apostle of the Gentiles, and God was training him for his future work. And Barnabas brings him back, not to Jerusalem, to Antioch. And he becomes one of the leading teachers and elders in Antioch, a Gentile city, and possibly many Gentile believers in that assembly. So that he had contact with Gentiles the most of his spiritual life. And God was told Ananias, he's a chosen vessel unto me to go to the Gentiles. Now this struck me very forcibly today. How it is that God prepares a person for their future service. There are young in the meeting tonight. Are you exercised to live for God? Have you got an early encouragement to put God first in your life? Now, I know the question of marriage will have to be settled too. And I'm no person qualified on that sphere, as you might know.
No, not yet.
Not yet. Well, we make no comment on that. However, remember, you should give the first place to the Lord in your life. The Lord will open up that other question too. He will settle that for you too. But remember, the first thing for the Lord. That means you don't put your work in a place that's going to crush out your spiritual life. You make sure that you have a place for God in your life. And that you want to please God. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to be a missionary to the ends of the earth. God may not call you to that. He may, but he may not. He may call you to serve in your own district, in your locality. But that's not the point. The point is this. Are you setting yourself out? Remember, if you are, God will govern your circumstances to develop in you the necessary qualities that he can use in the future. Now, looking back on my life, I was forced to do things that I didn't want to do. Quite a number of things that I won't relate now. But now, as I look back on it, in the situation where I am now, where almost 100% of my time I'm with the French, I can see that God was operating in my life many, many years before I even thought of ever being involved in the Lord's work in New Brunswick. Furthermore, because they are a people that have been neglected, never have had the gospel preached them ever. There's so little books in French. We have had to put pen to paper and start writing in another language. And I know some of our dear brethren who are in the field for a long time, they likely have done that too. Now, I was forced to do certain things and write letters and write in French a long time before I ever thought of going to Canada. And now, it's a major duty in my life to be writing. I look back on that And I wondered why I struggled with some of these things, starting to learn how to write in another language. Now I know. God was preparing me for the task I'm now doing. Now, that teaches me this, that you, exercise about living for the Lord, are likely to pass the same way. Don't be surprised if God asks you to do things that in yourself you don't want to do. Because God is developing in you the characteristics needful for His work. And submit to Him. And be humble. And be in subjection to the circumstances and to the brethren who may have already spoken to you in some certain lengths. Be in subjection to them. And you'll never be the loser. You'll never be the loser. You might think in your youthful ardency that you are. Not so. Just submit to God's dealings in your life. Be exercised before the Lord about them. And He will help you and give you grace to go through those circumstances with Him. Now, I never intended to go 5 minutes over the time. I thought I would finish 15 minutes before the time. But now, you'll excuse me this time. That's my little message. I trust that every one of us might realize this, not only be like Abraham, the spiritual graces and beauties that can be brought out in our lives, and also our future service as seen in Joseph, Moses, and Paul.